Verses 1 and 2, after Jesus asked those who were weary and heavy laden to come to him that he might give them rest, to come and take his yoke upon them and learn from him, he's actually asking, like, come and learn how gentle I am. Come and learn how lowly of heart I am. Come and learn from me. Come and learn what I want to give you. Come and learn what it means to rest. Come and learn to have an easy yoke and have your burden be light. Just if we stop there, there's so much to learn. Because right now I can look out at this sanctuary and at all you people, and we look tired. How many of us agree that we're tired? Raise your hand. Yeah, see? Most of us. We're tired. We're tired because this stuff involves work, it involves action, it involves our participation. And Jesus here is presenting a solution that is different, that doesn't make us tired, but gives us more energy. Something that doesn't weigh us down, but activates us and gives us the power to work out the things that Jesus is calling us to. And after he communicated these beautiful truths, Jesus takes the disciples through the grain fields, and as they became hungry, they did what any of us would do. They went and took some heads of grain, plucked them out, and they began to eat. And as they did this, here in the text, we are introduced to another group of people that were following close behind, the Pharisees. These people knew the law of God inside and out. Their whole job was to make sure that the law was clear for the people to follow. In fact, what they did is facilitate the keeping and the observing of the law. Their whole job was to make it easy for the people of God to keep the law of God. And here they are observing with a microscope the followers of Jesus. One thing to note is that it wasn't that they were plucking grain as if they were stealing from somebody, because this was allowed according to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25. It was the fact that they were plucking heads of grain on the Sabbath, a day where no food preparation could be done, a day where you could not gather. In fact, this day was separate from every other day in the week. Everything would shut down. There would be, you know, we get upset when Chick-fil-A shuts down on Sunday, right? Like, why is it that we always crave Chick-fil-A on a Sunday, you know? So if we were good little Jews, this is what we would do. We would go on a Saturday night and buy, have you guys ever bought, like, it's $14.99, it's like 30-piece chicken nuggets, right? It's like they serve it in this big old bowl, and you're just like, I normally get it for my daughters, you know? They just have at it, just put it in the middle of the table, and they're just like, yeah, Dad, woo, you know? And so there's this big old bowl, and you would go and get that, and maybe a couple sandwiches. I really love the spicy chicken Southwest salad. And I would get a couple of those for the next day, you know, and maybe a shake, put it in the freezer so it doesn't go, you know, turn into milk, and, you know, just store it somewhere so that the next day on the Sabbath, I could eat it, right? And that's what the Jewish people would do. They would prepare all the food the day before. That means Costco was packed Friday before evening, before sunset. It would be packed. There'd be lines everywhere. And guess what? Once that sun went down, no more registers. Doors automatically closed. And if you didn't buy any food, guess what? You're going to starve. As they plucked these grains, it would be known as reaping. As they rubbed the grains together, it would be known as threshing. And as they blew away the husks, it would be known as winnowing. this entire process would be seen as food preparation, which was prohibited by Jewish law on the Sabbath. And so how would Jesus respond? As the keepers of the law, the facilitators of the law, were confronting the followers of Jesus with this act of breaking the law. Verse 3, Jesus challenges their scriptural knowledge. He says, have you not read? Notice how Jesus is using their text to answer their question. It's something that's so evangelistic. It's something that speaks volumes. Maybe when you're ministering to your Muslim friend, and your Muslim friend says, man, you know what? I really love the fact that Jesus is so faithful, that he's forever faithful. And you're just like, wait a second, like, your God isn't? And they're like, I don't know. And then you would go back and you would crack open the Quran and you would go to Surah 5. And in Surah 5, you would find out that Allah and how they see God is in a very different way that we see the God of the Bible. See, their God is capricious. It says it in their own book, that he could change his mind at any time. How would you feel in your piety, in your righteousness, doing all the right things before the Lord or before your God, and having him, because he had a bad day, having him change his mind about everything and not allow you to come into heaven? How would you feel about that? Like reading it and looking at it and just like, wait a second, he changes his mind. And you start informing your Muslim friends and your Muslim brothers about what it's actually saying there in Surah 5. See, Jesus is very different than every other God on this planet. He's faithful. He's true. And he uses the words of man to challenge their theology. See, we think like, oh, I'm gonna study theology. And normally it's man's interpretation of what they think God is. It's kind of trippy, right? But when we study the Bible, we're unveiling who God is. And the Holy Spirit is revealing to us who God is. It's very different than taking a class at a liberal college and having them explain to you who God is. Because from them, it's coming from a secular source and sometimes even an unbiased source. A biased source. As they present the God, they're only giving you bits and pieces. But that's what's so interesting about the Bible, is that when we crack it open, the Holy Spirit's like, oh, you're ready? And he comes alongside of us and he sits down with us and he drinks his coffee and he's looking at us. You see right there? See what's happening? Let me show you what it really means. Let me point you to Jesus. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I thought I was alone in this. No, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us. Begins to teach us. That's his job. He begins to comfort us. He's a teacher of all things. And next thing you know, we have a helper, right? To understand what this is saying. Just like that, Jesus comes alongside the theology of the Pharisees and begins to expound on what they're presenting. And he says, have you not read? Don't you remember what your king, King David, the guy that you look up to, the greatest guy in your eyes, don't you remember what he did? How he went into the temple and took his crew in with him and was like, hey guys, look, I know we're hungry, man. I know we're not supposed to eat this bread, but check it out. It's King's Hawaiian bread. Here you go. Have some, you know, and all of a sudden they're just like, oh man, we're just so thankful that we could go to the temple, the house of God, and actually partake of this bread, even though we're not supposed to. Do you think God's going to punish us? The Pharisees had forgotten about this. And then he says again, have you not read that the priests sacrifice double on the Sabbath? Numbers 28, verse 9. How the priests actually do stuff and worship God on the Sabbath. And isn't worship work? You know how much work, how much is involved? Like when I sit here and I worship God, I'm like sweaty. I'm burning calories. My hands are up. They're getting tired. They're cramping up. I'm just like, God, you got to come through. It's work. It's work. And these priests were working, sacrificing double on the Sabbath. He's like, don't you remember? Jesus is revealing to them that the purpose of the Sabbath was not to be burdensome, but to bring freedom to the people. See, and what they had done is to quote unquote facilitate the keeping of the law, they actually made it burdensome. They created more work. I don't know if you've ever worked in retail, but the people that create more work are the people that nobody likes, right? They're the people that know, oh man, this guy's gonna mess it up. Don't tell him to do it. Here, let me do it. Let me do it right so that we don't have to redo what we were supposed to do, right? You're out there like putting up signs and, you know, getting the squeegee and cleaning everything up. You're just like, let's not create more work. Let's just do it right the first time. These guys were creating more work in the name of orthodoxy, in the name of holiness, piety, self-righteousness. The reality was that people, because of what the Pharisees were doing, began to look at the law and walk away defeated. They saw the law and immediately they're just like, this is exhausting. Looking at this is exhausting. How many of us look at the law and you're just exhausted? You just know, it's like, oh, man, like, this is gonna be so much work. And people looked at a day of rest as work. Try that one on for a second. They looked at the day of rest as burdensome because of the misinterpretation and the mishandling of God's word. As people realized more and more that the law could not be kept, they did what most people do. They questioned its necessity. Do we really need to keep this law? Think about it. If something is constantly defeating you, why even put up a fight? How many of us have battled with one sin and you just stand defeated and you know you're going to lose the battle? When that temptation comes again, you already know that you're going to lose the battle. What if instead of looking at the law as a source of defeat, we look at the law as a platform to experience God's mercy and the victory that he wants to show us. What if, think about it for a second, instead of like, oh, this sin's gonna defeat me again, what if we were like, man, you know what? I'm tired of functioning in my own strength. I'm tired of resting on what I can bring to the table. I'm tired of like still like depending on only myself. What if we invited the Holy Spirit in? Just like when we crack open the Bible, we're inviting in the Holy Spirit. What if during that temptation, we say, God, I remember 1 Corinthians 10:13, how you would provide a way of escape. And so, God, I'm asking you, where is that exit sign? Because I can't do this on my own. I need you to provide. Normally, we only see God as provider when it comes to money and food and clothing. What if we look at God as a provider when it comes to escaping the sin that easily ensnares us? And we're waiting for that green exit sign to light up so that we could flee. We resist the devil and flee from temptation. What if that was a reality in our lives? What if whenever we look at the law and we stand defeated, we say, God, maybe, just maybe, you want mercy. You want me to surrender. You want me to like lay down my life. Maybe, God, I just need to submit to you and what you want to accomplish in this moment. See, Jesus is presenting that solution to the Pharisees that knew the word of God, you know, backwards and forwards. The law was so exhausted that the sacrificial system became mundane. And God realized what sin had done to a very good thing. And he says, you know what? I'm tired. I'm tired of your sacrifices. I'm tired of this system. In fact, I'd rather see mercy. I'd rather see you cry out that you're ready to give up, that you're ready to stop doing this on your own. I'd rather you surrender and ask and beg for my help than see you sacrifice another animal. You see what he's doing there? God himself, He's not going to be like, oh yeah, just keep sacrificing. You guys are good. Just keep doing your thing. That's good. No. How do I know this? Is because if God was okay with the sacrificial system, he would have never sent his son. And the sending of Jesus is to appease what the law could not do. For the law was weak in the fact that it cannot save. That's what the Bible says. And the blood of Jesus is much more better than the blood of bulls and goats. It speaks a better word, the Bible says. So my question to you is this, is when the law is exhausted, when you look at all the things that are condemning you right now, what's going to plead your case? Are you going to surrender and ask for mercy? Or are you just going to continue doing what you've been doing while living in spiritual defeat? See, it's easy for us to like be like, oh, but I'm a pastor. Oh, but I serve on this team. Oh, I serve in children's ministry. Oh, I'm a Christian teacher at a Christian school. It's easy for us to lean on the things that call us and label us as Christian. I go to Chick-fil-A, you know. I go to this evangelical credit union or, you know, all these things that can define us as Christian, right? We can lean on those titles, lean on that identity. And yet, God's like, aren't you tired? Aren't you ready for something new? Aren't you ready for something different? When are you going to stop working for the things that I freely want to give you? When are you going to stop working for grace? It's an oxymoron. When are you going to stop working for mercy? You can't earn that. See, when we are like, but I do all this stuff, and we present our filthy rags before Jesus. Jesus, that economy, it doesn't make sense to him. He's like, yeah, you know what? These righteous deeds and stuff, the prophet Isaiah, the guy I sent a long time ago, he said that they're just filthy rags before my throne. Here, why don't we just throw those away? Why don't we just put those soiled rags over here? And let me switch it up for you. Let me clothe you in my righteousness. Let me clothe you with something that you don't deserve. Can you just call out for mercy? Can you just desire mercy just for a little bit? Can you just show me that you want me to be merciful because I'm merciful? It's different than all the other gods that you've made up for yourself. I'm merciful. I'm defined as merciful. See, God desires us to recognize him as that because he is the source of mercy. And then not only that, that's not where it stops. He even tells us in his word, in another section, he says, be merciful, for I am merciful. He says, be holy, for I am holy. Jesus is desiring us to be like him. And one of the greatest qualities that he has is showing us mercy. You know what trips me out about this God that we study in this Bible? Lord, help me. God the Father showed no mercy in putting his son on the cross. And that should humble us. He didn't call time out. He showed Jesus no grace, man. Why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me alone? Why have you allowed this to happen? Have you ever said that? Jesus is the only one that's qualified to say that. Do you understand that? That Jesus is the only one that's qualified to say, God, why have you forsaken me? And because of that action, because of what happened on the cross between God the Father and God the Son, we don't have that excuse because a way has been made for us to have an unhindered relationship with the Lord. But he's tired. He's tired of us presenting our spiritual resume. He's tired of us demanding his blessing. With our performance. He's like, look what I've done for you, God. You have to bless me. We are not qualified to do that. We don't have what it takes to do that. Jesus wants us to rest. I would rather you rest in your identity found in Jesus than have you work for some self-made, cheap copy of it. It's like, stop working for it, man. I want to give it to you freely. Daughter, stop working for it. I want to give it to you freely. Son, stop working for it. I want to give it to you freely. And what I want to give to you is for you to distribute to people that don't know me yet, that they would look to the church. Like, think about it. In the Yellow Pages, do you guys even know what that is? Right? Okay, you might have to Google it. Okay, but there was a time where we would take this book, they would come, it's this heavy book, and mom would always be like, hey, go get the Yellow Pages down in the front. You're like, oh man, my back hurts, mom, that book is so heavy. And you gotta get it. It's like this big old book, and it has Yellow Pages and a little bit of White Pages. If you're creepy, you look at the White Pages. But if you look for a business, right, you'd go and you're just like, oh, I really need mom's tripping. I need some mercy. And so you go to the Yellow Pages to find mercy, right? And you go and you're just like, oh, mercy, and there's nobody there. There's nowhere you could go buy mercy. There's not like, hey, Bob's Merciful Store, you know, come in and get mercy as much as you want, you know, on sale today. You know, there isn't a place. Why? Because that's for the church. The church should be the source of mercy. The church should be the place where people who don't know mercy come and get mercy. Where people can surrender and say, God, I give up. I'm tired of doing life without you. I'm tired of presenting all of my works before you and demanding something from you that you want to just freely give me. See, the church should be the source of mercy. There should be just there should be the biggest category in the Yellow Pages. Where you look for mercy and there it is, all these churches just listed off, ready to be distributors of mercy because God has called us to be merciful as He is merciful. Have you guys ever heard the term, it takes one to know one, right? It takes mercy to know mercy. And if we would just understand the depth of mercy, we would cry out for it. We would be like the psalmist, Lord, be merciful. Show me your mercy. You're asking for something that you don't deserve. Right? That's what mercy is. And Jesus is like, I would rather you just ask for something that you don't deserve so that I can freely give what I have earned on your behalf. See that? See what Jesus is doing there? He's like, look, man, I've done it. I've accomplished it. I even said on the cross with my last breath, it is finished. Tetelestai. That means I've done it all, and so now I just want to distribute it. I want to give it to you freely. You don't have to work for it anymore. Stop misinterpreting the Bible. Stop misinterpreting God's word. Stop putting trips on people. Stop being burdensome. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And he departs from there, goes into a synagogue. There is a man with a withered hand. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They wanted to accuse him, man. They were asking this. This was a loaded question. He says to them, what man is there among you who has a sheep, falls into a pit on the Sabbath? will not lay hold of it and lift it out. Maybe among these Pharisees, there were some shepherds that God was calling out to, saying, look, man, don't be a hypocrite. You know that if there's something valuable that is going to die, if there's someone that's hurting, that's in a bottomless, a pit, you know that you're going to go in there and you're going to save it. And you can think about this for a second. It's like, Jesus is talking about us. You know what's interesting about Jesus? Is that he's the Lord of the Sabbath. And guess what? Even on the Sabbath, God is working. Like, think about that for a second. He's like, hey, man, I want to give you rest. You should have a day where all you do is rest in me and allow me to increase and allow you to decrease. That's all I want. That's all I want. Is the one, you know, doesn't mean you have to just read your Bible the whole day and just be there. Don't bother me. I'm observing the Sabbath right now. You know, no, that's not what he's saying. He's like, can you just rest in how good I am? How merciful I am? How gracious I am? How loving I am, how faithful I am. Can you just rest? Can you just know? Can you just be still just for a day? Well, how long, what kind of a day, Jesus? Because, you know, like, are you talking about from sun up to sundown, or are you talking about a full 24-hour day? Because, you know, I got stuff to do. Like, think about that for a second. That's our California. That's California Christians, okay? Where we're like, okay, you know, Jesus, like, you gotta make this day hurry up because I got work to do. I got money to make, right? Look, man, I got like 10 jobs. This is what pastors do. Gotta make it happen, Captain, you know? And whenever, you know, I've learned the importance of a Sabbath. And I have been in rebellion against the Sabbath. Maybe it's the Mexican. I'm like still Mexican, you know? So I still work. Like, God hasn't, like, you think about a new creation, but like that Mexican in you doesn't go away. So like, you still like tacos. I'm still really excited for Yahweh's, which I'm going to finish in 4 minutes. But there's things that I still do. And I've inherited this from my father. Like, my dad is just such a worker. Such a hard worker. Like, that dude, like, man, I don't even know when he sleeps. He's like sending me encouraging messages on Messenger, like at 4 a.m. I'm like, Dad, go to sleep. You know, like, and you know, he's, because that's his nature. He's worked since he was like 10 years old. You know what he gave up his education to put food on the table for his brothers and sisters. And guess what? That gene is now in me. Like, and it's rate, it's not like, oh, like a slight gene. It's like a very demanding gene. Like, I'm just like, oh man, like, you know, and I have all these like different jobs and like, you know, I could be working like after tonight. Oh, cool. Oh, this person wants me to, you know, take them to the airport for $100. Okay, cool, let's do it. Because I used to be an Uber driver, right? And like those, and I have to shut it off. I have to say, no, I'm tired. You know, here, like, this is homecoming week tonight, this week, and it's like, there's so many things to be done. Like, the float has to get to the football field, and then there's a homecoming dance, and I have to stretch for the dance. You know, like, that takes a full hour, and then I have to get a suit because I'm doing a wedding on Saturday, and then, you know, on Sunday, I got to preach, and it's like, I might have to preach in the suit because I don't know when I'm going to get home that night. And, you know, like, all this stuff goes through my head, and I'm just like, work, 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 and God's like, hey, I just want one day, dude. Like, can you just hang out? Like just me and you? With your family? Yeah, that's all I want. Just one day. Help me out. You know, and in us is the ability to rebel. To rebel against what God wants to freely give us. And sometimes we rebel when it comes to the Sabbath. You know what's crazy to me? Like, when he instituted the Sabbath, he's like, if you don't keep the Sabbath, you're gonna die. So if I die, it's probably because I was rebelling against the Sabbath. You know? That's the God honest truth. I struggle with this. And I'm not just blaming it on my Mexicanity, if that's even a word. I'm blaming it on my selfishness. I'm blaming it on wanting good stuff. Like, you know, I'm sick and tired of just Vans and Converse. I want some Jordans. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want any Jordans. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, I want good stuff for my family. I want to bless them. I want to work. You know, it's in me. But God is desiring us to rest. And see, it's a huge paradigm shift because what we believe about us carries into what we believe about God. And it's backwards. It should be what we believe about God should form and shape what we believe about us. And we gotta switch it, man. We gotta switch because we are like this generation specifically. We're like that money-making machine, man. Well, some of us, you know? But I just know, like this verse where he says, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? You know, I don't know if you guys have ever heard the term for those pastors who are in the house. I know some of you are here. That term, ministry never stops. You're a pastor 24 hours of the day. That can be burdensome. That could be heavy. And you might not ever rest or have a good night. Like this is what goes on in the heart and the minds of a pastor. If I'm not there for them, they're gonna leave. If I don't answer this call, they're gonna find a different church. If I don't drop everything and go minister to them, they're gonna quit. That's what goes on up here and in here. That's the honest truth, man. It's heavy. It's a heavy weight. And Jesus did not, that's not Jesus. Jesus, his burden and his yoke is easy and it's light. And he doesn't look at us and it's like, oh, got to give a little extra burden and extra yoke for the pastors in the house. There you go. There you go. Oh, only you guys. No, no, no. No. This word is for all of us. That we would be set free. See, a lot of the times, I forgot who said it. Oh, Gary Vaynerchuk. He said, you're only as great as your last at-bat. And man, sometimes that last at-bat was terrible. Got caught looking on the outside corner. Strike three, you're out. Dodgers win. And that's it. That's the end of the season for you. But that's not how Jesus rolls. Jesus presents rest for the soul, rest for the wicked, rest for the one that doesn't quite yet understand him. Like think about it. The Pharisees thought they understood who God was, and Jesus uses their own beliefs against them. maybe church. Today, we've looked at the Pharisees and we're like, ah, those Pharisees are always messing up, man. Always misinterpreting God's word, you know, judging people. They might as well have a gavel, like, you know, and we could look at the Pharisees that way and wag our fingers at them. But honestly, sometimes I'm the Pharisee. Sometimes I'm the one sitting there with a microscope. Oh, you see your Christian, what kind of Bible you got? You know, see if you're really a Christian. What'd you do last Saturday? Eat Chick-fil-A? You know, like, that's what Christians do, you know? And you just sit there and you're observing people. Oh, you're plucking grain heads off. You know, don't you understand you're not supposed to be winnowing and threshing and reaping on the Sabbath? Jesus wants to set us free, man. Us, the church. He wants to set the church free. To stop being like the Pharisees. To stop being like that sin sniffer. You know, that lust buster. You guys, we had a crew, you know, like, oh my gosh, this is so funny. When I was a high school pastor, there was this crew they called themselves the lust busters. They were out there looking, oh, who's making out with who? You know, who's holding whose hand? They're like looking to bust people that were lusting, you know? Like they called it, we had full-blown shirts like with Slimer, you know, from Ghostbusters. It's like lust buster, you know, like. And we could be those people, man, just sniffing out sin like our sin don't stink, right? Think about the Pharisees. Do you know what's so interesting? If you go to Israel today and you go eat at someone's house, you know what's crazy? You trip out on this, okay? They have sponges that are called like Sabbath sponges, where they're like one-time use sponges so that you can do dishes on the Sabbath and it not be illegal. Where you just take it, a sponge, and you wipe it off and then you throw it away. Because in their eyes, once you rinse the sponge and use it again, that's what defines it as work. Isn't that crazy? Your mind is blown because you probably don't even get how heavy it is. But that's crazy to me. That they would put laws in place to go around, like they're the best politicians. You know, like they put laws in place to go around the thing that's gonna cost them something. And sometimes, church, we put things in place to go around the thing that hurts us the most. And we can't live like that, man. We can't be that way. We can't be hypocritical. We gotta realize that the reason why we're working so hard to be righteous is because we're neglecting what Jesus wants to freely give us. The reason why we're working so hard, like, look at me, goody two Christians, you know, like, look at me, look what I'm doing, check it out, serving Jesus, praise God. God just wants to bestow on us just blessings upon blessings, righteousness that we have not earned, mercy that we do not deserve, grace that we cannot work for, and a love that'll blow our minds.